He overcame the obstacle of not seeing. He overcame the obstacle of the crowd. He cried all the more. What persistence! What persistence! Are we persistent people when we're seeking God? And sometimes we're not. I'm reminded of a story of two frogs that fell in a vat of cream. Two frogs one day fell in a vat of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the vat were very slippery and steep, and the cream was very deep and cold. And one frog said, "What's the use? 'Tis fate, and no one's around to help. Goodbye, my friend, goodbye, cruel world." And weeping still, he drowned. But the other frog, made of sterner stuff, dog paddle in surprise. And all the while he wiped his face and dried his creamy eyes. "I'll swim a while at least," he said, or so I've heard. "It really won't help the world if one more frog is dead." An hour or two he kicked and swam, and not once did he stop or mutter. He kicked and swam and swam and kicked, and finally he hopped out of the butter. Saints, if we're given cream, let us make butter. If we're given lemons, let us make lemonade. Here's the deal. Whatever situation we're in, God is there to give us with the resources that we can understand. And no, it won't always turn out the way we want, but it'll always turn out the way He intended. And ultimately, that's a far better way than what we could imagine. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For the righteous fall seven times, and yet rises again. But the wicked stumble in times of calamity." I know God loves football. That is a football. The guy driving down the goal, he doesn't count the number of times he falls. He counts the number of times he gets up and moves the ball towards the victory. Our God's a football player. I just wish he knew the Jaguars a little more. This morning, seriously, Some of us find ourselves facing insurmountable problems. We need to be persistent to the overcoming of those obstacles. The Bible gives us numerous incidents where God has blessed the lives because the people persisted. In Genesis 32, 24 through 27, Jacob received a blessing because he wouldn't let go of God until he was blessed. In Matthew 15, 21 to 28, a daughter received deliverance of satanic bondage because of a mother's cry. I believe God delights, that's a big word, delights, in giving to us the kingdom. He just wants us to show a desire for it. You know, if we got everything we want, we'd be spoiled children and have no faith. Bartimaeus took personal initiative. He persisted over his obstacles. And the third and most important is he promptly responded when called on. Verse 39 says that when Bartimaeus was crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. Everybody was telling him, "Shh. Shh, you're making too much noise. We got our own agenda here. We're going to Jerusalem. We don't need to just. Shh. And Jesus stopped. He had all the multitude to deal with. Hear this. We have all the multitude to deal with, and yet he stopped. He had the knowledge that he was returning to Jerusalem to be crucified. This was his final place before, and yet he stopped. He had a clear understanding that he would soon bear the sins of the world and his own father would turn his back on him. And yet, he stopped. He still took time to show compassion on one helpless soul. Saints of God, here's the good news. He's still doing it today. I'm reminded, back in the 50s, most of y'all won't know anything about this person but the name. But there was a charismatic person by the name of Coleman. Had great what is when people gather together? Crusades. Had great crusades. I used to see the movies or the films of them, and she'd go like this. She had these long, flowing, very dramatic, very turn-off to me, but very dramatic. And she'd go, in the name of Jesus, and whole audiences would pass out like a wave was passing over them. Very, very charismatic. There was a deal that she had. She brought people, when she was meeting in Chicago, she brought people from as far away as 400 miles by the busload. But on every busload, there was a musician with a guitar, and there was a prayer person. And they didn't sit there on the bus going, I hope this is all right. Boy, my seat is sore. No, for 400 miles they sang songs. For 400 miles they praised. For 400 miles they prepared their preparer to receive that which Jesus was going to have. How many of us, even coming into church this morning, took 3 seconds to pray for the service versus have a fight with our spouse? I know none of y'all had a fight with your spouse or children. I understand that. But sometimes it happens with Jan and I. You know, how many of us prepared? What she did was prepared everybody that when they got there to the crusade, their anticipation level was so high, their prayers of agreement was so gone, so much, that God was prepared to receive them. Oh, saints of God, Jesus stopped. When he stopped, Bartimaeus had 2 responses. First, when he got the word, Jesus wants to see you, he responded immediately. 2 Corinthians 2 says, now is the favorable time. Now was the favorable time for Bartimaeus. He rose and came to Jesus and he called. Secondly, he came in a humble fashion. He didn't come demanding. Here's the interesting thing that the scripture says. It says that when Jesus called, the first thing he did is he threw off his tunic. Now, the tunic for a beggar at that time was made of camel's hair. And they wore it over their head. It had 3 functions. It kept them cool in the hot. It kept water off of them in the rain. And it protected their vital areas in case someone threw a rock at them. Oh, yeah, the people can be mean back then, too. And you can always pick on a beggar if you can't pick on anyone else. So he threw off his protection. And when he threw off his protection, he became vulnerable to the elements. He became vulnerable to people seeing him. He didn't go to Jesus in hiding in his robes. He came as he was. That's what we have to do when we come to Jesus, just as we are, in no other way. We've got to come to him unpretentious, uncovered. Our walls of indifference, our walls of anger, our walls of hate, our walls of hurt, our walls of whatever, we've got to throw them away. And we come as we are. Bartimaeus, in humility, came as he was. The verse that he received was, "Be of good cheer, rise, for the Master is calling you." Don't miss that. We can't come to Jesus in a predetermined fashion that we show to each other. It won't work. Jesus knows us anyway. One of the most delightful things I have when I really get down is I can fuss at God and not feel like I'm being lack of sacrament or whatever. Because God knows my heart anyway. If I'm ticked, I tell him I'm ticked. It's kind of presumption on me if I go, "Well, I'm really mad at God, but I'm not going to tell him." He knows anyway. And I'm sure none of y'all have ever gotten mad at God. I have. I think he laughs when that happens. I'm not sure that he hasn't thrown me into the sea of forgetfulness yet. Nor do I think he will. No, Bartimaeus, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up. He took off his projected image and he went to Jesus, warts and all. And that's how Jesus received him. See, we don't have to go to Jesus with our robes of filth, because he gives us his robes of righteousness. And only righteousness is acceptable in his sight. So he took personal initiative. He persisted in his obstacles. He responded promptly when Jesus called. Three lessons that we need to go home with. That reminds me of a story in closing. The story of a little boy who wandered away from his home, paying no attention to where he was wandering because he was following his dog. Until at last he looked around and had no idea of his surroundings. His eyes welled up with tears. His little heart was filled with fright. And directly his emotions took over. And he stood on a corner, sobbing uncontrollably. Soon a police officer noticed that the young boy was crying, and he approached the little boy. And he said, "What's the matter, son?" To which the little boy replied, "I'm lost. I don't know where my mommy is." I followed my dog. And now even my dog ran away. And he sobbed all the more. The police officer knelt beside him. And with a very gentle tone, said, son, not to worry. I'll help you get home. The little boy had been trained not to speak to strangers. So he kind of backed up. And the police officer said, "Gently, I will not hurt you. My job is to see that I get you home safely. But you must help me." After a second or two, the little boy took the officer's hand. And the officer said, "Well, where do you live? What is the name of the street that you live on?" And the little boy looked around and said, "I can't remember the name of the street." And his tears began to return. Okay, said the officer. "What is your parents' telephone number?" We don't have a phone in my home, said the little boy. Well then, can you give me a landmark? Can you tell me what's near your house? And with bright, enthusiastic expression, he said, yes. He said, not too far from my house is a white church with a high top and a cross on it. Mister, do you know where that white church might be? Yes, I do, son. Well, please then, if you can get me to the foot of the cross, I can find my own way home. Bartimaeus, living in abject poverty, having nothing, expecting nothing, being named cursed from his birth, and the son of mourning, called out to the one that could save him. The lesson for us today: are we calling out? Are we putting down our robes of indifference? Are we coming to Christ? Are we coming home? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand to your feet. And because we can proclaim